Look at verse 9 to 11, and they talk about the possibility of God at work in people. In verse 9, it says this, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. In the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed." It doesn't matter who preaches. You don't need the minister to do that job. We're not enough, but no one is. God is enough, and you plus God is enough. Everyone in this room understands the gospel. He died for our sins, like the Bible said he was gonna, and he was dead, buried dead, and rose again. Everyone in this room knows that. Everyone in this room can share with anyone else. But everyone we know needs to know that and believe it, or no deal. It's not just God winking at people going, "Ah, you didn't know any better." It's terminal illness, SIN positive, right? Gonna die from it, healed because of what Jesus did. It does matter what we say. It does matter what we believe. So we preached, and so you believed. And it made a difference to all these people. The resurrection is the key part of this story. And I already said verse 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Do you know that the resurrection is also there in verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18? Every single time, again and again and again, Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead. But if there is no resurrection, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. If the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. It just goes on and on. And then verse 20, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, Adam, who sinned, but every one of us who really, if everyone before you were alive managed to not sin, would you have not sinned?" Right? So we could all look back and say original sin and Adam, oh, what a rotten deal, you know. But we're all in the same boat. We're just like our ancestor. By a man came death. By a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. Why does it say by a man came death? Who ate the fruit first? Why isn't it her fault? Are we okay with male leadership in this instance? Yeah, it's the men. They did it. Or is it Adam and it's just human? You know, there's that interpretation as well. But it says a man, not mankind. And then it says a man came life, not mankind. Adam is held responsible for his family's actions. And Jesus is held responsible for his actions that brings life. What's up with that? Where are we going to go with that? That's like a tussle waiting to happen. Don't walk around with the microphone. As in Adam, all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. It's a name of a person. It's the name of our Savior. The two people held accountable for death coming into the world and for life breaking into the world. And so what's that about? Verse 14, he told the plain truth. We already looked at that. Boy, if this stuff isn't true, this is sad and pathetic. If it's not true, Christianity is not true. There has to be a resurrection. And our position, you and I, is changed in Christ. Our position as a descendant of Adam is that we're all headed downstream with the current toward a waterfall that goes off into nothing. Worse than nothing, Scripture describes it as a lake of fire. Wailing and gnashing of teeth, yuck, ouch, don't go. You don't have to go, don't go. Just don't go. I'm sorry, God, for my sin. Jesus died for my sin. He was buried. Sin has been punished. Sin was put down, and Christ came up out of that grave with sin down in the grave. Done. I want some of that deal. Please, my sin suffered in Christ. My sin put down into that grave where it belongs. The wages of sin is death. I agree. And then resurrection and life in Christ. Yes, Lord, please that. Our position is changed in Christ. Not because of what Christ did over there that benefits me whether I believe or not. My position is changed in Christ. Verse 12 is a shift point in Scripture. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some say there's no resurrection? This is really important. Christ is raised from the dead. Verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Paul, he's talking, and he goes, now listen, the resurrection. And then he's talking, and he goes, but listen, the resurrection. Believing this truth, trusting God, receiving grace, like Paul did, who preached Bible, us receiving grace by faith is how we're saved. And saved, we are a community of people sharing the basic truth that saves. We can't give people more than that. So as 1 Corinthians comes together and speaking to people and says, you are a people, and here's what I do in family to build you up, is to get the one thing people need to know into their lives in a way that changes from death to life. So serious. But if we walk around with our hair on fire screaming about the serious thing, that freaks people out, you know? When you're not believing, you can't have these maniacs come running into your kitchen, barging in and saying, you have to hear this, you have to hear this. You might not make it through the day. But in a Christian, inside of you must be that urgency to find a window through to a person who needs to know. If they don't know the one thing, they won't ever believe the rest of it. If they don't know the one thing, they won't have the Spirit of God that enlightens and makes everything else make sense. Today, if you hear this message in your heart, respond to the one thing. I'm a sinner, and Christ died for my sins, and I'm forgiven. And that one thing makes everything else possible. The Holy Spirit will come in that point and say, you have changed from death into life, and I will abide with you, and we have fellowship because we agree, and it changes everything. And then all the rest of it works out. Christians in a room in the back reading a piece of Scripture that don't agree, never come to blows. Don't hate each other. Work to our common understanding as near as you can get. And God is not worried about those details. He knows what's true. He knows how wrong each one of us is in our understanding of things. And He is refining all of us to look more and more like His Son as we come together in the family to work these things out. And we're all growing and everyone's changing. So even in this sermon, maybe you've heard something that challenges you to think differently. And that you would come and say, I have a question about what you said. What does that mean about this? Right? And then the dialogue begins. It doesn't have to be me. It could be anybody next to you. But God has taken us in this family and making us into a community of people who share that one basic truth. And now how do we share it? That's what we get to talk about tomorrow night. How are we sharing it? What are we sharing? Why are we sharing it? So we're ready to go. That's the sermon. That's the whole thing. Will I, on the heels of it, quote some scripture to close out? James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay, the gospel is true. People need to know, what are we doing about it? The Bible tells us about ourselves. Do we believe what it says about us? What do we do about it? It says, do not, do this, do that, always do that. Are we in line with the teaching of Scripture? Peter says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. Can you explain to anybody why you believe what you believe? Peter says, be ready. Christ in your heart, sanctified, set apart as holy. Yet do that with gentleness and respect. Have a good conscience so that when you are slandered, it doesn't say if, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So be a Christian, live a Christian life, be able to point to your changed life as evidence that you believe what you say you believe. And then when people go, oh, you're so-and-so, well, no one's going to say, no one's going to find anything. Joseph in Egypt was unassailable in anything except that he worshipped God, even when Pharaoh said you had to worship him. And then Romans chapter 1, we sang about it this morning. We sang about the glory of God that's found in all creation so that no one is without excuse. Romans chapter 1, Paul writes, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Father God, you did these things. You did all of these things. You promised beforehand and you did it. Paul said, we have received grace and apostleship. And if he was speaking about he and his entourage, he also said, including you who are called. And I believe that that means us, the people who read Romans, we who just read Romans in this room, the difference that you make because you are God and you're at work in this world. Please help us to understand these things. Help us to be ready with the resurrection as the single necessary and persuasive truth for the forgiveness of sins. And help us to come to grips with the fact that that includes us, each one of us here and our friends who don't want to accept that, and that we could just love them and persuade them of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then all the other things that you'll do, we'll watch you do, using us, the body, to bring that about. Please empower us, Holy Spirit. I pray for each one of us here. We just confess our sin. We agree that it's sin. None of us maybe are, we kick a dog in this place or have ever murdered someone, but everybody's sinned. We all fall short. And we just agree about the perfection of God and that you forgive us. And there's anybody in here who's never done that in their life, has acknowledged that they're a sinner who needs forgiven. I invite you now, in the privacy of your own heart, to bow your heart before the Lord and to just agree about sin. Yes, that's me. It's me. Every one of us good old Christians been on the bus before would bow our heart before the Lord today. Lord, that is me. We need forgiven. And hallelujah, that there is forgiveness in Jesus' name for everyone. That's like just, you know, I'll gladly bow my knee and worship you alone. We sing that song, right? In the heart or with the actual knee, we're humbled before God. He forgives us. And Holy Spirit, fill us today and make us ready. We pray in Jesus' name.